Washington, our bordering states, who would be probably where our contractors might be competing from?
The western United States, from Indiana west, is mostly uniform building code across the land.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Further questions?
Okay, thank you very much. Were you through your testimony?
Other than just maybe a final comment, I may have said it earlier, that professionally, of course, I feel fire and life safety regulations should be the same for the public, whether it be a federal, city, state building, private industry,
safety
or whatever.
Safety
is safety. And as I mentioned, I also will send over some written comments to the committee when I get back.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Harry Barnett?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Harry Barnett. I'm here this morning representing the state fire marshal. I am his chief deputy. While I also can find a good deal of sympathy for the contractors who appear to be caught in this bind. After all, they are Oregon citizens and Oregon businesses also. But in our view, at least, the public safety issue is the primary issue involved. I'm here to speak in opposition to House Bill 2062 as not being in the best interest of the safety and welfare of Oregon citizens. In Oregon, we have developed and adopted safety standards for buildings, and our adoption of the National Code, as has been stated, is the Uniform Building Code. The same code applies in the state of Washington. It has been adopted at state level, and it is used by most all local jurisdictions that regulate buildings, cities and the counties that have chosen to regulate buildings, a common code. We have adopted these standards, and we've also brought about in Oregon a process to assure compliance with those standards. This process involves both local government and state agencies. The State Building Codes Division, the State Fire Marshal are part of the process. These agencies are given, under Oregon law, the responsibility for assuring a reasonable level of safety in buildings. To exclude the fairly large number of federal properties, federally owned buildings, from that process would leave us without the assurance that the minimum standards that we've adopted for Oregon citizens are going to be provided. I feel that a good public policy position for the state of Oregon to take on this issue is that since the workers in these buildings and the public that has access to them are Oregon citizens, and it is Oregon firefighters who will be called upon to perform the rescue or control the fires that might result in them, that these federal buildings should also meet Oregon standards of safety. I would like to see that whatever action the committee takes on this bill, that it reflect that policy.
Questions? Representative Jones. You've talked to this morning, right?
I know. Question I have is, there are a lot of building codes and requirements involved in structures. I would presume that all of them are not necessarily safety related. Is that true?
That is true.
Is your chief concern here that the safety requirements in the building be met that are in accordance with Oregon law?
Certainly, and you know, our direct concern as the fire marshal is with the fire and life safety portions of it. The structural stability and other aspects of safety are the province of the Building Codes Division and local building authorities such as Mr. Bassett. But our primary interest, of course, is the fire safety aspect.
Would you have any problem, and I'm just throwing this out as a supposition, would you have any problem if, in fact, they were required to comply with all safety and health portions of the code? Would that satisfy your concerns?
Yes. My concern, though, is not only for the requirements of the code, but also for the process that assures us that those things are met.
So you would...
It's the process also that's in question, as well as the code requirements.
You would want them to still be required to have inspections from local people. Is that what you're meaning by that?
Absolutely.
In the building process?
Yes.
Sprinklers.
Inspection is what I was referring to.
No, sprinklers.
No, well, he said he's in the process.
Well, you're not merely the... I'm not arguing the point, but you're talking about the process of inspection.
Mm-hmm.
But if they put up a building with it, like they had in D.C. without a sprinkler system, then he's really got a problem.
I realize that. If all the safety and health codes are met, that would be satisfy his concern.
Okay.
That was what he was indicating to me. That would be one of the things. And what you're concerned about is that some local person be able to know that that has been met.
Right.
In
the process. The process involves review of the plans and on-site inspections and the final that assures that the whole
process of the building itself is what you're saying.
That's correct.
Further questions? Representative Springer.
Mr. Barnett, I know you may not be able to respond to this, but... Have you had any communication with your attorney, the Attorney General's office, on this issue? Anything other than, I guess, the most recent Attorney General's opinion, which has tried to perhaps provide you and not only state but local code enforcement folks some guidance on what their authority is?
No, sir, we have not. This is a fairly new issue for us, and I just only learned that this bill was in the hopper last night or yesterday, and haven't had time to do that much background on it.
Okay. Thank you. I guess I might request, Mr. Chair, that when this thing is next scheduled for hearing a work session, we might invite or direct a letter to the Attorney General's office as to whether or not they intend to intervene in this lawsuit, since I think there's a substantial state interest involved, and just whether or not they're aware of the lawsuit. I hope they are. And just whether or not they've taken a position or they wish to intervene or be represented, speaking on behalf of the state's interest in this issue, which I think is a significant one.
Yeah, that's excellent. I have made up my mind right now we're not going to see this bill again. Let me rephrase that. I would like to, before we have another hearing on this bill, I would like to have a better understanding of how this lawsuit is proceeding, because if something significant comes out of that, I think it will give this committee better direction. And Representative Springer is also going to speak, to the city attorney of Medford. Am I correct?
I'm going to try to initiate some follow-up just to try to find out where that suit is in terms of when they anticipate some resolution of it. I'll do that.
Because I want to get that feedback before we even consider hearing this again. I'm not saying the bill won't be heard again. All I'm saying is I want to make certain that we don't jump right in the middle of some kind of a catch-22 irreversible situation. Because I can understand why Mr. Kalinowski's here, and he should be here on this situation, but I can also understand why you're here. So, further questions? Thank you very much.
Could I add one more comment, Mr.
Please.
Chairman? I haven't been directly involved in our plan review process for some time, but in years past I was, and it's my impression, and I could do some research if you would like, that we routinely receive plans on federal buildings from many federal agencies with no problems whatsoever. It appears to be a spotty problem, I guess that's what I'm saying. It's not a universal problem. But it is a significant problem that needs to be dealt with. You know.
Well, but they can always point at those federal agencies that are complying and ask, why aren't you? I mean, that gives you something to go by. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gary Rusher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Gary Rusher. I'm the fire chief with Marion County Fire District Number 1.
I'd just like to indicate from my personal position, and I'm sure that the Oregon Fire Chiefs, we will direct this to their legislative committee, oppose regulations which exempt the federal government or any other class or group of people from the rules of the Uniform Building Code. I'd like to elaborate for a moment. Mr. Bassett indicated he felt that this would simply complicate the matter, and I believe that's true with regard to the issue of fire and life safety. It's been said that about 90% of the Uniform Building Code addresses the issue of fire and life safety. The other is structural safety, et cetera. The code doesn't address aesthetics and all of those things that you can give away. With regard to the fire and life safety issues, the state of Oregon has adopted the Uniform Fire Code, and many fire districts and cities in this state have adopted the Uniform Fire Code. The Uniform Fire Code is developed by the Western Fire Chiefs Association, the 10 western states of the United States, in cooperation with the International Conference of Building Officials. The fire code is generally described as a companion document. The fire code relies very heavily on the Uniform Building Code for the issues of fire and life safety, exiting, stairwells, et cetera, et cetera. If a group of people or agencies in Oregon were allowed to be exempted from the building code, now you have the cities and districts coming around with a Uniform Fire Code and saying, wait a minute, we still want all of these things for the issue of fire and life safety. And I'll go back to the fire door as an example of that, the two-hour wall and this separation within the building. You just simply say it's not going to be handled at this level, but you're going to create the problem for the next group of people. And our issue is fire and life safety for all the citizens and workers and et cetera in Oregon. And I'd ask that you consider doing exactly the opposite of the bill. And that is simply send a notice, and I don't know the process, to the federal government that says you will comply. Not that you will be exempted, but you simply will.
The best we can do is a memoriam.
Did you hear?
And they usually take the memoriams and they file it in the round filing cabinet.
I really understand that, but I think that's the message that Oregon wants to send. At least I would ask Oregon to send.
The best message we can send is to our federal delegation.
Right.
As strong as we can make it.
Yeah.
Question.
I thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes the hearing on House Bill 2062. There are no other people who have signed up. We only will have about 20 minutes on the next bill. First of all, let me close the hearing on 2062 and open the hearing on 2028. You realize, Tom, that we are going to be pressed for time. Hopefully, we can get through it because we only have 20 minutes and we have to go to the floor. Oh, 11:30. I beg your pardon. I was, okay. We got a little more time, I thought.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Joel Lexa, Deputy Administrator of the Building Codes Division, Department of Commerce. Next, speak to House Bill 2028. First of all, I'd like to ask how you want to proceed on this bill, because it does contain, I think, two very different subjects here. The first part of it deals with civil penalty authority, and the second part of it deals with water slides. And I've prepared to testify on the civil penalties first and the water slides second.
Well, if I make comment, because I was, someone spoke to me, and that the water slide issue was, if I understood the comments correctly, the one thing they had a problem with. If it becomes apparent that we have a conflict with this bill, I have no problem with separating it into two bills and to address each one separately. If that seems to be the way we'll go, providing that the committee will support me on it, we'll split that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, because I have spoken with the representatives of the industry, and we are putting together an amendment to the water slide part of this bill, so that it may be much better if the bill were split off into two.
Well, can I interrupt you just for a moment there, and let's get this, because there's only two people signed up. And Tom, would you mind coming up with this gentleman? And I want to, because he brought up a question, and I think it deserves to be answered now. With your expertise in that area, am I correct? The only thing you question in this bill is a question of the water slide.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Fender, and I represent the Oregon Showmen's Association, and with me is Mr. Carol Kirsch, who is counsel to many of the members of that organization. To be specific and return to your question, we would also have concerns with the question on civil penalties. We met with the director of the Department of Commerce, and we went over all of these issues with him and with his staff late in December after this bill had been prepared. The director of the department indicated that he would support our position in terms of water slides and civil penalties. We want to keep the traveling carnival shows within the criminal penalty arena because of the mobile nature of the industry and the necessity of local enforcement officials to be able to respond on weekends at odd hours. So we really are concerned with both aspects of the bill, and we would point out that water slides are distinguishable from the average carnival ride that you might find at the state fair in the sense that they are fixed structures. The type of rides that we operate are all mobile and incorporate a blend of mechanical, electrical, and hydraulic design that makes them very different than your garden variety structure. And for that reason, the basic underlying legislation regulating carnival and amusement rides has a completely different history, and we changed it in 1981 to involve the insurance carriers that are involved in insuring these risks because of the nature of the devices involved. We have the type of medium that is much more like an airplane than a building, if you look at it conceptually. Water slides are more structurally oriented and involve a different panoply of health and public safety concerns than do carnival and amusement rides. So we have concerns with the bill from both the penalty aspect as well as the question of water slides. Water slides do not have an enviable safety record, and we would resist their incorporation within the carnival ride arena because we have an excellent safety record.
Then you're speaking in favor of splitting this bill.
Yes, sir. Very definitely.
Joe, how do you feel about it?
Mr. Chairman, I think that is probably an excellent suggestion. We felt morally obligated in the Building Codes Division to do something about water slides this session just because of the flood of reports we've been having on accidents. And the bill was drafted early in the fall, and we put it into the amusement ride section because it appeared to us to be an amusement ride on first glance. And in discussing the matter with our Attorney General, it was her feeling that the amusement ride definition was drawn so tightly that it excluded application to water slides. So we put it there only as a starter. But in talking with the with Tom here on what to do with this, I think we have come up with a better idea that we will be submitting an amendment to put water slides into a separate category by themselves and treat them more like an elevator or a boiler, which we also regulate, that would allow them to have an annual inspection. That's initially why we put them into the amusement ride category, because under an amusement ride, they would be subject to an annual inspection, where if they were defined only as a structure, they would have an initial inspection on their construction but never be seen again. And so that any deterioration in the slide that could cause injury would not be caught. And so our initial attempt was to stick it into the amusement ride to subject them to the annual inspection, but I think if we can work something out that would license them and require an annual inspection, but put it in a separate category from the amusement rides.
Representative Jones.
Don't we currently have some inspections required of other kinds of things, such as pools, swimming pools?
Health Division now requires inspection of those, Representative Jones.
And you're proposing that this be done in the building codes for initial inspection, and are you looking at that as a possibility of going into the same area as your swimming pool inspections would be?
No, we're not, because the swimming pool inspection and the situation of water slides would only deal with the water quality, and it would not touch the structural aspects or the design aspects of the slide. And we feel we need to look at the structural and design aspects.
After it's been built.
And what we're looking at now is a licensing process that would require a plans review. And, well, first of all, we'd have to adopt standards on for the construction of these structures. And it would allow us to look at the plans that would be submitted before construction took place and inspect the construction and annually thereafter, as part of a licensing mechanism, look at them for any deterioration or operational changes.
Do you have any precedent for this and anything else that you...
Well, as I suggested, Representative Jones, I think the precedent would be in our boiler and elevator section, where we have an annual license requirement for boilers and elevators, and they are inspected each year and required to have corrections made if there are deficiencies in them.
Mr. Chairman, one other sub-issue, and that was the Attorney General, in reviewing the entire subject of amusement rides in the past few years, has taken a look at the rules and regulations that were adopted pursuant to this law, and in so doing, accepted out what are commonly known as amusement devices. Devices differ from amusement rides in the sense that they tend to be the type of activity that does not have an active mechanical movement, but does subject the public to a potential risk of some kind. Examples might be like cinematic portable movie theaters, tunnels of love, that type of activity. What is commonly known as the industry as a walkthrough, like an amusement house with mirrors, et cetera, the steeplechase kind of concept.
I think you're taking Representative Jones back in time here.
I beg your pardon.
In that regard, we would like to incorporate within the statute amusement devices, because we believe that they do present a potential hazard to the public and should be inspected and regulated as part and parcel of this industry. And we would speak to the fact that there have been difficulties in other areas. Beyond that, we are seeking regional uniformity, which is another concept I would like to discuss with you briefly, in the sense that the state of Washington and the state of Nevada are considering the adoption of the Oregon concept. And since we have a highly mobile industry, the greater degree of reciprocity that can be established between these states, the better type of regulation and public safety we will develop. Within that idea, we are looking to the concept of something similar to a boat license by virtue of the sticker, so that there is a clear indicia of inspection and safety available to the public and also available to local law enforcement officials, so that they are in a position to say, this is a Ferris wheel that has been inspected and does meet the applicable standards, without having to be an engineer, an electrician, an electronics expert, a hydraulics man, or whatever else is required to understand whether it's a safe gadget or not. So there are some other considerations that we would like to offer to the committee for your consideration, because this is, in terms of public entertainment, a fairly significant industry. The people within our group do the state fair, they do county fairs, they do local entertainment events, and they are throughout our entire state. We do not really want to have our excellent safety record tarnished by a fly-by-night type of operation that arrives late Friday afternoon when everyone is thinking about what they're doing for the weekend, operates for one weekend, breaks down on Sunday, and departs. And so we are looking at the penalty section more along the lines of how do we deal with a more mobile type of industry than you might think of always exists. That is not to say that we don't have the active participation of people like Oaks Park, who has been one of the founders of this movement, as part of our operation, because they're there too.
Well, I if there are no objections from the committee, I'd like to direct the committee administrator to take HB 2028 Legislative Council, have Legislative Council separate the two questions and form two separate bills. Because what I'm hearing from you is that we're trying, and the way it is now, we're trying to match apples and oranges, and I don't want to get into that kind of situation. Is there any discussion, Representative Jones?
Would it be appropriate for us to simply delete that portion from this bill and ask a new bill be drafted instead of drafting two new bills?
Well, it's almost the same thing. They can do the two at the same time. Or would you?
I would suggest that we let Legislative Council have discretion in that area as to whether they feel it is appropriate to just delete the amusement language, water slide language, out of this, draft a new bill, and go with the existing language. Just from an economic standpoint, it does cost X amount of money and take time to go through the process. If the sponsors, Department of Commerce, are comfortable and don't feel that taking that language out would somehow destroy the other intent of 2028, I'm not sure the council would feel there was a need to do two new bills, just delete inappropriate language and put that in another bill. And
Mr. Chairman,
we don't have any problems with that, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, we would be happy to assist in the sense that we have already drafted the language to include devices and would make that information available to your administrator, because we would like to address the inclusion of devices since you are dealing with our basic licensing section in this legislation. And we would assist in any way that we could on the water slide issue, even though they are not part and parcel of our existing industry. I mean, we understand that the concerns of the Department of Commerce, and we share them with them. We would point out that in terms of the continued operation of our industry, the way we are looked at by insurance carriers is very important to us. And we do not want to be categorized with an industry that may have a substantially higher risk factor than ours.
You don't want to be guilty by association, is what you're telling us. Is there any further discussion, Representative Springer?
I would just make a request to Mr. Fender that I don't know if he had any written materials, but if he might provide just a written summary of your position on this issue, that would be helpful to me.
I would be happy to do that, Representative Springer.
If you'd do that for the whole committee, I think that would be... Anybody else have any comments on this? If not, then why don't you... I'm going to direct you to... go to Legislative Council, take the input from Mr. Fender, and have them take the language on the water slides out of this bill and maintain the rest of the bill as is. Okay. Now.
And Mr. Chairman, I would like to work with Council and Mr. Fender on this, because I say we have discussed this just last night when the bill came up, and I think we've come up with a different concept than is now contained in the bill. That would both speak to the concerns of the amusement ride industry, and I think probably do a better job in regulating these structures.
Okay, would you like to carry on today on the remainder, or would you rather wait till we get this thing divided and then come back and address it at a later time?
Mr. Chairman, if it's okay with you and the committee, I would prefer to go ahead with the balance of the bill dealing with the civil penalties. So I think
that's
they are
fine.
A separate issue that
I want
we're
you
ready
to deal
with
what we've done. Okay, if you would go ahead and address the remainder of the bill, deleting the water slide question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill dealing with civil penalties does basically two things. It makes uniform civil penalty procedures across the several programs in the Building Codes Division, and it enhances collection procedures on unpaid civil penalties. Civil penalties imposed under administrative process controlled by ORS Chapter 183 have been adopted by the legislature to help regulatory agencies achieve compliance without resorting to the court system. Civil penalties provide an effective and expeditious means of bringing about compliance with statutory requirements. For the most part, we can achieve compliance without actually bringing a civil penalty action. Our problem has been that the procedures for implementing civil penalties differ depending on when the civil penalty authority was granted by the legislature. In the elevator program, for example, we must go to the local circuit court and seek a restraining order. In the mobile home program, we must go to the small claims court. In the structural program, we must work through the local district attorney. This bill would make uniform civil penalty procedures provisions across programs and is patterned after the civil penalty procedures in our electrical program, where the final order is issued by the electrical board. This bill also allows unpaid civil penalties to be docketed as a judgment lien. This would give the division an alternative to the Department of Revenue in attempting to collect unpaid civil penalties. Although these streamlined civil penalty procedures are designed to make the civil penalty a more effective deterrent to those who ignore statutory requirements, the primary focus of the Building Codes Division is to achieve voluntary compliance. To this end, the division is working to develop a public information program to explain the necessity of obtaining proper permits and inspections and the use of licensed personnel in the interest of public safety.